Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Dark Side of Wikipedia. After a year of doing this show and you guys loving it, we've created a way to give you even more Dark Side content. How? By you becoming a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you become a Dark Sider, you get advanced access to our episodes months before they're released to the public. So if you want more to binge away on, this is the way to get it. In addition to the advanced episodes, you also get our archive of episodes, and all of it is commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen without the pesky commercials, become a Dark Sider. In addition to all of that, we're also now giving final chapters to all of our new episodes. That means you get to hear an extra chapter of the story and discussion, usually an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes of content for each episode that we're calling the final chapter, which is exclusively for Dark Sider members. The reality is, this show is not free for us to create. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put it together. So if you'd like to be part of the Dark Side of Wikipedia, support us and keep us on the air, and in exchange, get all of those extras, please become a Dark Sider. Do it by signing up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to everything I just talked about. Check it out today, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider, and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia alive. Did a police chief lead a double life only to be exposed on Facebook? A woman's body found dismembered in a freezer deep in the forest. A mass murder in a home described as a different kind of evil. These stories and more on this week's Dark Side Weekly edition of the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray. Once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
That it is, and this episode of the Dark Side of Wikipedia is kind of a release from our normal episodes, but we're going to be doing this every single week at the end of the week. It is the Dark Side of Wikipedia, and just kind of the dark side, I guess, of reality, of what we will call it. And we're going to be examining some of the most infamous cases that are currently hitting the headlines and hitting them and talking about them from various perspectives as we work through them, and not just a single focus as we normally do on the Monday, Tuesday episodes, but the Friday episodes and weekend episodes will be more focused on this area and the dark side of life. Our first one on today that we're going to be focusing on comes to us from the Sun. .com and a story about Jason Collier. A police chief in Texas has been put on leave after a woman alleged to be his girlfriend shared a series of shocking accusations on Facebook. The chief of the Senate Police Department was slammed as a poor representative of the city by alleged girlfriend Cicely Stamirez, who accused him of having another girlfriend, Christy Schaefer, and a wife. Jason Collier has 21 years of law enforcement experience under his belt, and he's currently the chief of Sinan Police Department. The cop has been married twice and has four children, two with his ex-wife and two with his current wife. Collier has been on board of the Texas-based religious organization Our Brothers Keepers with his wife. The organization was founded by Wesley Bolton. In a statement on Wednesday, January 27th, Bolton said, "Two board members voluntarily resigned, but it was not clear whether he was referring to Collier and his wife." Bolton said in a statement, "Without going into great detail or addressing any comments, concerns, or rumors, I have been made aware of an ongoing situation involving two members that have asked to step down from the board of directors. I will not address any specific questions or entertain any questions regarding these matters." Cicely Stamirez, 39, alleges Collier was leading a double-triple life by having two girlfriends, including herself and a wife. Her viral Facebook post shared on Tuesday, January 26, has 25,000 comments and has been shared 31,000 times. The post said, "Chief Jason Collier is living a double-triple life. I was his girlfriend until yesterday. He lied to me and presented me with fake annulment documents when I found out he was married. I also found out about a second girlfriend, Christy, last night. He's lied to us, our children, and asked us both to marry him. He's a poor representative of your town. He would also visit me in Amarillo when he was on shift. We just returned from vacation to Taos on Sunday. Meanwhile, his other girlfriend was told he was on work assignment in Portland, Oregon." The drama surrounding the allegations against Collier has prompted memes in Facebook groups comparing it to a Netflix series. One group, Jason Collier Netflix series, has more members than 88,000. The Senate Police Department said Collier has been placed on administrative leave amid ongoing investigations. City Manager Dirk Down said in a statement, "The City of Senate is aware of the current situation surrounding the Chief of Police, Jason Collier. The city is taking this seriously. Be looking into any violations of our city policy." Chief Jason Collier has been placed on administrative leave while the city investigates possible violations of city employment policy. "As per city policy, we will refrain from commenting on any personal issues or personal in a public forum." When did he become Senate Police Chief? Collier was named as the Chief of Senate Police Department in Texas in February 2020, according to Heavy. He worked for several police departments in Texas, including as an officer, a detective, and as a chief of police in Sundre Police Department. The Senate Police Department announced the hiring of Collier as the top boss on Facebook. According to Heavy, it said, "We are excited to announce our new chief of police, Jason Collier. Chief Collier comes from Borger Police Department, where he was a sergeant. Chief Collier is married with four children, ordained minister, 21 years, law enforcement, FBI, liaid, trilogy, graduate, TCOLE, instructor, master police officer, state of Texas, Medal of Valor recipient." Both the Senate Police Department's Facebook page and Collier's personal profile have been deleted since the accusations have been made. The U.S. Sun has contacted Collier for further comment. So, sounds like a winner.
Yeah, so this week, because I'm like, "Tony, have you heard about this guy?" But yeah. I'm like working in air quotes, and I'm on Facebook, and like after the third person who said, "Has anybody else gone down this Jason Collier rabbit hole?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'll go down the rabbit hole." So then I Googled him, and then I found all this stuff about him. And in fact, one of the girls lives here in Wichita.
No kidding. One of his lovers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I think the one Christy or Krista, So she lives here, and like, so there's that whole Facebook page is now up to well over 190,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's doubled since that was printed. And so it's a really funny Facebook page, and it's very entertaining. But at the same time, there are victims to this, and primarily, you know, his wife and their children.
And anyone who believes, anyone who believed that he was who he said he was, you know, I mean.
Well, and what I don't get is, okay, so seriously, if you're meeting a guy on Tinder and, you know, 2 weeks have gone by and he's asked you to marry him and he's bought you a coffee maker.
It's a coffee maker. Yeah, that's a red flag right there, the coffee maker.
Right. And like those guys aren't real. Like, there's something else going on, you know, because soon there's going to be, I need $5,000, blah, 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 blah. I would love to come see you, but my car broke down.
Hope you like the Keurig.
Right. But it's a Mr. Coffee. I can't afford a Keurig. But I mean, so there should have been some red flags with some of these women. But I think that, you know, I've been with him for 2 weeks and he loves me and he wants to marry me.
Yeah.
But it is a fascinating story. And so, like, one of the posts on that Facebook page, which of course I immediately joined that group, was talking like, Jason Collier needs to teach some time management classes because we could all learn a lot from him. So, I mean, it's really kind of funny because some of the posts are really funny. But then there's a lot of posts about other men, like they're outing other guys who do similar things.
Sure.
I'm like, bring it on, because that's shitty. That's being a shitty human being.
And you know what? I'm all for it.
And behind his religion.
Yeah. I'm all for that world being exposed, because I remember.
I'm pro that.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was younger, and I would, the only example I have of this is being in the world of like DJing weddings and shit like that. There were so many guys that I would go out with as I was trying to like learn that trade of, and I hated doing
that.
Oh, I
thought meant you guys you went out with. I was like, Tony.
No.
Here's a story I hadn't heard.
No. But no, and nothing against that, but I am straight. But no, but I remember going and doing DJ weddings with a lot of guys that, you know, we'd kind of team up to help DJ the wedding together. And there were so many times where it'd be like, these guys are married. They have, you know, this and that. And there'd be so much like, I'm going to go hook up with this girl and that at this wedding reception. Like, what the fuck? It was just like baffling to me. And to this day, like, I've never done anything like that. But these people just like kind of took it as like, this is just like kind of part of their life. And it's how they do things. And it's like, this is not cool. This is just immoral and wrong. And it was before the days of even like, you know, internet stuff where it was like easy, like to do Tinder, things like that. But it was just like, I'm just not cool with that. That's just, you know, yeah. Some of us have morals, I guess, or standards of like what you're good and not good with.
And I think like this story too, like, because there's so many guys like him.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys like him. But I do think that the way the story broke is kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
That it just is a woman, a scorned woman.
Sure.
Posting on Facebook. I'd have done the same shit. And then another woman seeing her post and it's like, whoa, me too.
Yeah.
And now I think it's like up to 15 women or something like that. It's crazy. And so somebody on that page had posted, you know, he's, you know, his life has been ruined for this. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you didn't see that coming.
But you know what? If you ruined your life by making poor decisions, guess what? It comes to you.
Yeah, I feel sorry for... He has children.
Don't
like
make...
Like a wife and children. That's what I feel bad for.
I mean,
So the whole post is about they want to do this Netflix show, which I think would be great. Like, it's a Dirty John type of show.
I don't feel sorry for anybody. It's like you're putting your children in harm. I mean, there's a whole other thing. If it's just you, it's not cool. It's not good. But if you're willing to put all that blame just directly on you and there's no shame to everybody else, I guess do what you want to do. But it's dumb, but do what you want to do. But if if you are going to put your children in that mind, in that whole target too, that's just a whole other world of stupidity.
And my guess is his wife thought she was married to a holy person, you know, a religious person, and he a man of Christ. And but no. And that makes me mad. So I think, you know, there was a lot of, you know, I think he really used and abused a lot of people.
Yeah.
But somebody said if there is a Netflix movie made, that the money should go to his wife and kids. I'm like, absolutely.
No, I completely agree.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to another one that's currently going on. This is from Dane County, Wisconsin, back in my neck of the, that was from back there. Continuing on, an Oklahoma woman was arrested in Wisconsin. Here we go. This is from Dane County. On Thursday, January 21st, in connection to a 2020 disappearance of her roommate, whose body was discovered in a sealed freezer in the woods of Arkansas last week, a Wagoner County, Oklahoma Sheriff's Office announced Friday that Corn Adams Bomelli was arrested in Dane County, Wisconsin, and was expected to be extradited to Oklahoma to face charges of first-degree murder and desertion of a corpse and the death of Talina Galloway. Wagner County Sheriff's deputies responded to a report that Talina Galloway was missing on April 17th of 2020. Cora Bellamy, Galloway's roommate, reported Galloway missing. Bomelli and Galloway lived in the west side of Fort Gibson Lake, Oklahoma. Authorities determined Bellamy was exhibiting suspicious behavior during their investigation, including giving inconsistent statements and deceptive reports of circumstances surrounding Galloway's disappearance. Investigators served multiple search warrants and concluded multiple interviews in several jurisdictions over the course of 9 months. The sheriff's office said multiple possible crime scenes reportedly revealed trace evidence, including blood and DNA evidence. Bellamy soon became a person of interest in the disappearance of Galloway. The Wagner County Sheriff's Office said that Bomani then refused to cooperate further in the investigation. A witness in Arkansas contacted the Polk County Sheriff's Office on June 8, 2020 to report a seeing of a pickup truck towing a small trailer driving in a secluded area near the Ocotilla National Forest. The area is about 4-hour drive from Fort Gibson Lake. The witnesses said the activity seemed suspicious and reported no one was around the vehicle when they approached. The foul odor was detected by the witness and a foul-smelling thick liquid was pooled in the floor of the trailer. According to Wagner County deputies, the license plate tag number later was found to be registered to Talina Galloway. A deputy was dispatched to investigate, but no further action was reported. The same witness was walking in the woods in the same area on January 14, 2021, and found a white box-type freezer with its lid taped shut with a foul smell surrounding around it. The witness reported this to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Polk County Sheriff's deputies discovered dismemberment human remains inside the freezer. The Arkansas State Medical Examiner took possession of the freezer on January 19, 2021. Wagner County Sheriff's investigators received a tentative report of identification. The Arkansas State Medical Examiner identifying the human remains as Talina Galloway. Her death was determined to be a homicide. Wagner County investigators began searching for Cora Bellamy, who is currently out of bond from a prior Wagner County charge of illegal possession of a firearm. She was believed to be in the Dane County, Wisconsin area. Dane County Sheriff's personnel located Cora Bellamy Thursday afternoon, January 21st, and she was arrested without incident. KJHR-TV reports a probable cause affidavit said investigators found what is believed to be blood in the garage and a bedroom of the home of Bellamy, shared with Galloway. The affidavit provided by the Wagner County Sheriff's Office stated a search of Cora's cellular phone shows she was performing internet searches for ways to get blood out of concrete and wood. So never a good idea once you kill somebody to do internet searches for how to get blood out of concrete and wood.
Well, haven't these people watched one episode of 2020 or something? Because
No, they're done.
Like, they look for that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, go to the library. Oh, gosh. Now look at me. I'm helping someone out.
You're trying to help a killer, Carol.
But you know what I mean? It's like, if I have to search something random, I'm like, man, if I die, they're going to do a forensic deep dive on my computer and they're going to see that.
I think that is something that is lost between generations. I think there's a generation, I think I'm the end of the generation that says, because I knew the world before the internet, but I'm the last of the world that knew the world before the internet. So I know enough to say, if I'm going to search something weird, I'm not going to be caught for it. So,
and I'm like, seriously, yeah. I think like if I die tomorrow, I don't want people go through my house and say, I didn't know this about Carol.
Exactly.
I seriously am like that. Why it would matter, I would be dead. But
the generation beyond me is like, who cares? Everyone can know everything.
No shit.
Yeah. They're like, I'm the last of the cautious world where it's like you should and shouldn't do these things in public. And beyond that, it's like they're just clueless.
I think you're right.
As to like people can search these things. You should you can be found out about these things. Don't search that shit when you're trying to kill someone.
Yeah, because those people do not watch ID.
No.
So how old are these women?
I don't have the age in front of me, but I want to say in their 20s.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why, number one, which we don't know. But to me, like, that's going to extremes. You know, it almost, to me, if it's, you know, all of a sudden you got in an argument, whoops, I killed you. But the fact that there's a freezer and it's out in the middle of nowhere,
sure.
Like that just feels too, like, how do you get a freezer?
Well,
you don't have one?
Well, that's my biggest question all the time, quite honestly. And this is something I honestly ask myself, because I love going out to abandoned locations that are just kind of way the hell out there. And when I get out there, there's always something you go, who the hell brought this out here? And everything from a toilet to a freezer to some sort of large appliance. And it's like, why? Like, it was a pain in the ass for me just to hike out here.
Well, those are the people who don't want to pay the proper money to have them properly disposed of. Well, so they just find random places and dump stuff.
Well, it's kind of random place. You go like to like some enormous structure like 5 miles off the path. It's like, why did you go all the way out here to drop this thing off? It's just always just kind of weird to me. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, maybe there's more to the object being here than just the object being here. You know?
I mean, what if you found a freezer that's taped up that stinks? That is just horrific. That's horrific.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, I'll say it on this episode because it's airing quite a ways out. But me and Harp were at a haunted, or not a haunted site, but an abandoned site not that long ago. And on the site was an old oven door, not a freezer door, but an oven door. And on the inside of this old oven doors, you might see them at antique stores quite a bit hanging up. It's the kind of the chart. It's like a half moon chart saying, you know, here's what you cook this at this temperature and all that. And it's really kind of neat and historic the way those charts are. But this thing was just kind of rotting away in the woods and rusting and all that. And we found it at random and thought, let's take this. Let's bring this with us, not to steal something, but because we didn't want it just to rot away in the woods. It was more so, let's keep this historically accurate and maybe, you know, give it some new life. But you grab those things and you sometimes wonder, though, what was the history of this thing? Where, you know, what happened to this oven? In my mind, in my always logical, trying to be positive world, which I'm not always positive, I try to grab and think, oh, there was, you know, honey hams put in this oven and on Easter, and there was turkeys, and there was all this at Christmas and this and that. And you hope that's what happened behind this oven door that I now have in my garage. But you also wonder, too, was there horrible abuse or something and horrific holidays and people screaming at each other and this and that door slamming shut and this and that because the oven, it's not done. And I mean, I have this idyllic idea, but you know what? You don't know unless you were there. And I hope for the best. And my intention is the best with holding that oven door to this day. But you just don't know the answer to those questions.
You'll find out when the haunted oven door starts.
Was it a bad idea?
Some shit in your house.
Should I not have taken the oven door? What do you think? Tell me.
I'd have left it. I don't bring anything like that in my house.
It was just so damn perfect. And me and Harper, it was just a good day, just exploring abandoned places. And we saw this oven door. And she's like, Dad, look at this. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I looked at him like, this is like creepily like untouched.
I mean, maybe put it in your barn or something.
Well, it's sitting in the garage right now. There's a lot of like dirt, like literally in between like the outer core and the metal core of the inside. I need to like take the screws out of it and get all that cleaned out of it. But I'm like, I want to take it because I want to give it new life in a positive way.
But if you found a freezer that was taped up, would you go that might, I might be able to plug that in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look,
it could be a perfectly good freezer.
Look, it's the cover to the freezer that Dahmer put stuff bodies in. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know the difference. You're exactly right. And I am taking a big gamble there. You're exactly right. And I don't know the answer to it, but I'm going on the feeling of this was a honest homestead that had positive things going on at it. And this, for whatever reason, I don't know how the hell I ended up so lucky to find the door to the oven of it, but I just want to feel like I'm giving it new life. And I'm giving it not just the life of rotting away in the woods and, you know, rusting away and all that.
I'll just tell you this. When my birthday comes around on April the 10th,
mm-hmm.
Hint, hint. If you want to send me a present, don't send me that.
You want an oven door?
I don't want it.
Oven door framed.
I'll take something else.
Okay. I'll find you something else. There's a wonderful suitcase on the property that Harper's.
Yeah, and I don't want that freezer that's taped up either.
She's begging me to take that suitcase away. And yeah. Anyway, let's do another story here on the dark side of Wikipedia as we continue on to this edition of the program. But a cold-hearted man who possibly planted evidence inside his wife's body to frame her lover. After Brad Reilly stabbed his wife to death, he seemed to get her lover arrested. When that failed, he tried to pin the crime on his own young daughter, Tamara Tammy Ray, a 41-year-old wife and mother who lived and worked in Prairie, South Dakota, was reported missing on February 8th, 2006. The report of her disappearance wasn't made by her husband, Brad Ray, 46, or the couple's 12-year-old daughter, Haley. The urgent call was made by Brian Clark, a married Kmart worker with whom she was romantically involved. Clark told the 911 operator that foul play could be suspected, asked by dispatcher to explain why. He said, "Me and her have been having an affair and apparently her husband had found out about it." From the get-go, it was a complicated case. Investigators were uncertain if the 911 report was legitimate or a ploy to deflect blame. Detectives made a welfare check to Ray residence and red flags arose instantly in the garage where Tammy's Dodge Durango was parked. There was blood on the floor and dripping from the SUV. It was later confirmed to be Tammy's blood. When detectives inspected the inside of the vehicle, they smelled cleaning solution and observed what appeared to be a rush job to remove the blood, but there was just too much of it. That's a homicide every day, Mark Barrett, former prosecutor of Hughes County SD told prosecutors. Authorities pressed Brad on his wife's disappearance. He admitted he knew Tammy had a boyfriend, but said he didn't know who he was. Brad said a few hours after arriving home from work that day, around 10:30 p.m., he heard a car outside the house, figuring it was his wife with her lover. Brad said he drove after them. An interaction with a state trooper caught on tape confirmed Brad's story about being out on the road that time. Clark, meanwhile, admitted that he'd been with Tammy on February 7th, but said that he then went home. Clark's wife confirmed his alibi. Detectives decided to set their sights on Brad, as his alibi was shakier. During the intense questioning, Brad told authorities that when Tammy's body was recovered, there would be something to set me free. At the time, the strange statement was believed to be a reference to DNA evidence. Later than a day after Tammy disappeared, Brad Ray was arrested on suspicion of her murder, but officials needed the victim's body to provide more evidence. On February 10th, a South Dakota National Guard helicopter spotted Tammy's naked body in an isolated area near north of the city, according to a Capital Journal news story at the time. Tammy had been stabbed more than 36 times. The killer went overboard, said Todd Love, former prosecutor of former Hughes County, South Dakota, adding, it was the murder. It was very vengeful, very regretful, or rageful. Investigators returned to the Ray residence for a further search that turned up a digital recorder. Audio on the device revealed that Brad actually did know Brad Clark was the man who his wife was seeing. Brad had lied when he said he didn't know who was the man's identity. As detectives reckoned with why Brad would lie, investigators received a letter that led to a wild turn in the case. The anonymous letter, which incriminated Clark, claimed Tammy had been raped the night she disappeared and that a condom was still lodged inside her body. The condom had not been discovered in the first autopsy. It was found after a second autopsy was ordered. Evidence inside the condom had deteriorated and provided no clue to the identity of Tammy's killer. Investigators recalled that during his initial interview with them, Brad had claimed his wife's body would exonerate him. Could he have planted the evidence as a way to frame Clark? Moreover, who wrote the letter? Couldn't have been Brad, who was behind bars. The letters, in fact, were sent by Brad Ray's twin brother, Brett Ray, who was later arrested and charged with being an accessory to murder. He was sentenced to the 172 days he'd been in jail before agreeing to testify against his brother and was then released. Investigators eventually learned Brad had devised an elaborate and diabolical plan for murder and a frame job. He managed to recover a condom used by Clark during sex with Tammy and planted it inside his dead wife's body. Brad had killed her as she slept in her bed. He secretly covered the mattress with a tarp and blankets to suck up the blood and to hide the crime. The bloody materials were eventually found by investigators. As defense, Brad tried to pin the murder on his daughter. He claimed he had saw Haley in a very bizarre state holding a knife at her mom's bedside and said he covered up her crime to protect her. Haley, meanwhile, told prosecutors his father is a cold-hearted murderer. She has since become a victim's rights advocate. At the trial, Tammy's mother, Bonnie Burns, shamed Ray for blaming his daughter. According to an AP News report at the time, I'm surprised you didn't blame the cat, Burns says. In January 2007, a jury found Brad guilty of first-degree murder for the stabbing death of his wife. They rejected his story. The couple's young daughter was the actual killer, and he was only trying to cover up her crime, reported the Billings Gazette in 2007. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. So that doesn't get much more fucked up than that.
What the F?
Yeah.
Like, it would be horrible enough to have your mother so brutally murdered.
Yeah.
by your father. But then that's just a whole nother level of victimization when he turns around and blames it on you. And you're just a kid.
And how do you get over that? I mean, that is what you kind of like start to understand it and figure it out. But still, it's like that's not a...
This is such a betrayal. And
yeah,
you know, this is someone who's supposed to love and protect you and
yes,
help you and teach you and lead you. And
that's the biggest level of betrayal that can happen to a child. Yeah.
And it was something like, you know what, if you're going to do that stuff, if you are going to like so horrifically, you're so mad at somebody and you're going to do something so horrific, just own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that just pisses me off. Instead of blame it on everybody else, get your twin brother involved.
And then the whole family is fucked for the rest of their life. They're always just like,
right? Like,
what about
so
this?
So many
what about
people that got drug into this, you know, and she shouldn't have, I don't know what her story was, but my guess is it's never a good idea to have an affair.
Yeah.
Sounds like she was having one, but then divorce her.
Exactly. There's so many more civil ways of handling something like that. That's not going to cause dramatic destruction to the world around you. That is going to be acceptable.
Did to his own twin brother.
Yeah.
You know, and a twin.
No.
Like, twins are extremely close. Most of them, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we did an episode on that today. Me and Harper did of twins on Cautionary Tales with Harper and just the connection between them. It's just got to be an insane dynamic between them. When they're going through that right now, it just utterly insane.
But to drag his twin brother into it and blame his own kid.
Yeah.
I can't even wrap my brain around that.
Let's do one more before we wrap up the current episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. So a pregnant Indiana woman and four others killed in a mass murder in their home, and what the investigators describe as a different kind of evil. Five people, including a pregnant teenager, were killed early Sunday morning inside an Indianapolis home, a vicious mass murder that one official described as a different kind of evil. According to police, who held a press conference Sunday, a 911 call came in about 4 a.m. about a potential shooting at the city's northeast side. Officers arrived to find a young boy outside suffering from a gunshot wound. The boy was rushed to a nearer hospital and is expected to survive the shooting. At 4:40 a.m., police received additional information about other possible shooting victims. They arrived at a home on Adams Street to find five people shot dead. One of the victims, Kira Hawkins, a pregnant 19-year-old, was transported to a hospital where attempts to revive her and save her unborn baby failed. Authorities have identified the other victim of Sunday's violence as Kezi Childs, 42, Raymond Childs Jr., 42, Elijah Childs, 18, and 13-year-old Rita Childs. At this point, police have yet to disclose if and how the victims were related. A motive is also unclear, and detectives are still working to develop a possible suspect. Do not believe the attack was random. Just this last week, we talked about investments that we were making, resources we're devoting in stopping crime and violence in Indianapolis. Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Chief Randall Taylor said during the press conference, drug-related crimes, domestic violence, violence driven by poverty or desperation, but we saw this morning was a different kind of evil, Taylor continued. I don't know what goes through a person's mind, he added. I don't know what kind of lie they listen to in their head that would tell them that pulling the trigger on anybody, but especially on this many people, is the right thing to do. Our community doesn't deserve this. Detectives are asking that anyone with any information on the murders come forward. Tipsters can be calling the department's homicide department at 317-327-3475. Information can also be shared anonymously by calling Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana at 317-267-TIPS or visiting the organization's website. One of those cases that I'm sure we're probably going to be following up on as the time goes by of just what the hell happened there. Because that's one of those things where it's not just, I happened to stop by and killed everybody in the house.
Well, and it says it was a 17-year-old, and it was his father.
And a 13-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. So there, you know, if that's it, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's not, I mean, I don't want to say it's common with teenagers. It's not common, but, you know, it's not unheard of that a teenager will do that. And
do what? You know, what are you saying specifically?
Well, at least they've arrested him, but they must have some pretty good evidence that he killed his family.
Yeah.
Now, why he killed him, I don't know. But my guess is it wasn't a valid reason, you know?
Sure.
There's no valid reason for that. I mean, that's horrific. That is horrific.
I think it's one of those things where it's like emotions just run completely insane. And it's a problem that we face here in our country of lack of mental health support for those who need it. And we're very quick to rush in on anything that we physically see wrong with somebody. But when someone we see with mental issues, it takes quite a bit for us to finally get to somewhere that's truly going to help.
It's really hard to get help.
Yeah, it is.
Really hard. And, you know, and I think sometimes too, when you're a teenager and there's hormones and, you know, and there's obviously something wrong.
Yeah.
For this kid to snap like that. But I mean, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
No, it's just one of the many stories that we see every week here at the Dark Side of Wikipedia. And we like to cover the stories in depth and talk about kind of what's been established. But once a week, we're going to do a show like this, where it is a recap of what's going on semi-currently. Are you guys hearing it? It's not going to be as the day of, but probably within the week of. And discussing our thoughts, feelings on the matters, and probably some follow-ups as well, as some of these cases continue to develop over the course of time. If you have anything you'd like to submit to us here on the Dark Side of Wikipedia, feel free to do it through our Facebook page or Instagram. And I'll definitely take a look at that and consider adding it to the queue of what we should be discussing here on the program. But an interesting new take on the show. Thoughts?
Well, number one, I was really glad that we talked about Jason Collier tonight, because I've been like fascinated by that story all week.
Sure.
But I think it's, well, fun's the wrong word, but it's interesting to me. I am someone who's always watching news and keeping up to date on news, and kind of, I like the Daily Mail, so I get those weird kind of not really newsy stories.
Sure.
More gossipy stuff. But I find it fascinating.
It is so fascinating.
I love talking about current topics.
We'll talk about the psychological aspect of all of these cases. And going forward, the plan is to release the episode about the week's news, the dark side of the news, as we'll call it, will be released every Friday on the Dark Side of Wikipedia feed. So be sure to press subscribe wherever you download the program so you don't miss that, as well as all of our bonus content. Of course, we have that for you as well at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, and also through our website, darksideofwiki.com. Just click Become a Dark Sider. Your support keeps us on the air, because without your support, we couldn't have a show. And that's really how all of our programs develop. It's by your guys' support and you guys showing us you love this show over the last year. we're ready to be at that point of saying, okay, let's keep this thing going. Let's see your support so we can keep this thing alive at darksideofwiki.com or patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Dark Side of Wikipedia, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.